Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Worship team, and I want to invite you to grab your Bibles this morning. Join me in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we'll be in chapters 12 and 13 this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. If you're not sure where 1 Corinthians is, when you get to 2 Corinthians, you've gone too far, okay? Hang a left and you'll find it in just a little bit. We started a series several weeks ago that we wanted to unpack for all of us, just a reminder of what we believe God's called us to do here at North River Church. And so for us, we want to make sure that we are doing what Jesus has commanded the church to do, and that is to make disciples of all peoples, baptize and teach them all that Jesus has told them. And so what we seek to do here at North River Church is to make disciples. We're not simply interested in making converts. We want people to be disciples of Jesus, that their lives reflect what Christ has done in them so that we can leave this place and help change this community that we find ourselves in. And so we looked, past few weeks, how we go about doing that, just structurally speaking, here at North River Church. And so we've emphasized a couple of things. The first week was that we want every single person who walks in these doors, who gets a chance to be a part of this body of believers that's gathered here, we want people to know God. We want people to have a relationship with God. And we said that week as we unpacked the text that for all of us, God has created within us a God-shaped hole in every human heart so that He's the only one that can fill that. Relationship with Him through His Son Jesus is the only thing that will satisfy that deepest longing in our hearts. And so for every single one of us, that question is asked, do we know God? Do we have a relationship with Him? And you may be here this morning and you're just checking things out and you say, you know, I've thought about it and maybe I'm here to kind of hear more about it, and we'd love a chance to share with you what Jesus Christ's life and death and resurrection provides for you in terms of salvation this morning. So for us, we want people to know God. And then the second one follows with that. We want us as a faith family to grow together, to grow in our relationship, not only individually with the Lord, but also collectively as a church family, and then as small pockets within our church family. And so we talked a lot about that last week. And so if you happen to miss that, you can go on our Facebook page and you can watch the service, or if you believe I have a face for radio, you can listen to the podcast. Some of y'all will get that later. One of the things that I love that we do here at North River is not only that we gather here and we sit in rows and I have an opportunity to teach, but also that we have groups that gather around in circles and are able to talk about the scriptures together, able to unpack what God's word has to say and then how it applies to their lives. And so if you've never jumped into one of our life groups, I want to encourage you to take this opportunity to grow together with the body of Christ here at North River Church. And so that brings us to this third week. So we want people to know God. We want people to grow together, but then we want people to serve others. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I want you to write this sentence down because it's going to frame for us this morning our discussion of 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. So write this down. It'll be up on the screen here in just a second. God gives a diversity of spiritual gifts to believers in order to build up the body of Christ in love. God gives spiritual gifts to believers in order to build up the body of Christ in love. I want us to unpack that sentence together as we work through 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. Now, let me say to you, you're looking at that and you're probably thinking, those are a lot of verses to cover this morning. And so, in the words of the great theologian Burt Reynolds, We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Smokey and the Bandit, right? That was a joke. But we do have a long way to go and a short time to get there. So you listen fast, and I'm going to try to preach fast as my South Georgianness can do. And we'll enjoy God's Word together. Let's pray before we do that. God, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear. Father, that you would open our hearts, that we would be ready to respond to your Word and to your Spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's unpack the first part of that sentence, which says, God gives a diversity of spiritual gifts to believers. So let's look at the first 11 verses of chapter 12, where we see this discussed by Paul. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, I want us to unpack that reality that God gives a diversity of spiritual gifts to believers within the church. So for every single one of us, I want you to recognize that you are blessed in some way, whether you're a believer or not a believer this morning, with certain gifts, certain abilities, certain talents. For instance, you do not want me to lead worship. My wife can say amen to that. I can't sing, like, not even a little bit. So, I mean, I claim the Lord's word when he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, because that's about all you're going to get out of me. It's going to be incredibly joyful and sound incredibly bad. So, all of us are gifted with certain gifts and certain abilities, physically speaking, just naturally speaking. Some of you are incredibly brilliant. Some of you got by in school, right? Some of you have incredible athletic abilities, and some of you, you don't want a ball being thrown at you because it's going to hit you in the face. So when we're talking about here, and when Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking about just our natural abilities, our natural inclinations, the things that we would naturally say we are gifted in doing. What he's talking about is specifically for those who have been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, those who have placed their faith and trust in him, that the Spirit of God gives to every believer at least one spiritual gift. This is separate from, though it may be influenced somewhat by our natural gifts and abilities, but it's something distinct from that. It's something that is from the Lord. It's something that is special that each one of us has received. And so as you look at the text this morning, Paul's desire, his heartbeat, is that the church there in Corinth understands the reality that every single one of them who are believers have been gifted with certain gifts by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about the fun stuff when we get to talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, because there's a ton of confusion within the church today about this very issue. There's a ton of debate today about this very issue. And so I want to quickly, as best I can, try to unpack that for you, maybe at a 30,000 foot view, and then maybe this week we'll jump back on our pastor's podcast and we'll be able to unpack it maybe in a little more depth together. So Scott, put that on the calendar if you will. We'll dive into that this week. Does that sound good? So here's the thing that was going on within the church in Corinth. Now, I always love it when someone says, you know, I just want to get back to the New Testament church. I've heard people say that before. Can I tell you something? A lot of the churches that are described in the New Testament were jacked up. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, there were crazy issues. If you want to get just a glimpse of those, you can look through the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, it is pretty crazy what's going on in there. Affairs and people getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and I mean, just crazy things were going on. And this issue of spiritual gifts was a problem in this church as well. We're going to unpack that here in just a little bit. And so I want you to notice that here, beginning in verse 4, Paul talks about the varieties of gifts that are given, but he makes it a point to say that even though there's a variety of gifts, we've got to recognize and we've got to understand that there is one God who bestows those gifts on believers. And it's important because there should be unity surrounding the gifts that each of us has been given so that it builds up the body of Christ. That's the intent that Paul has. He wants us to understand, he wants this church here to understand, is that these gifts are given by one and the same Spirit. The Spirit of God gifts every single believer with certain gifts. He begins to name some of those, and there are other places where Paul will unpack those spiritual gifts and kind of give somewhat of a list. Now, here's where things kind of get tricky, because there's some debate within the church, even today, of certain gifts, whether they are still active, more the miraculous type gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues and things like that. So let me say to you, some of you, you're like, I lost you about 3 minutes ago. I'm not sure what you're talking about. And that's fine. I'll try to unpack it as best I can. So here's the thing. There are certain more, what we would say, miraculous gifts that are demonstrated within the early church. And some have looked at that and they've said that those miraculous gifts are still active today. They're continualist, meaning that they believe that those gifts continue. Now, there are some who say no, that those more miraculous gifts, the other gifts, gifts of service and gifts of hospitality, gifts of administration, things like that, gifts of teaching and things like that are continuing, but those more miraculous gifts, those ended at the time of the apostles. They were just for a specific period of time within the early church as the gospel was breaking forth into areas where people had never heard about Jesus, and those gifts were used by the Lord in a specific time, in a specific place, so that it would give credibility to those who were preaching the gospel. And so cessationist is what they're called. They say those ended at the early church. So let me say this. There are what I consider first tier issues that all of us should agree on. Those first tier issues are things like Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life. Those are things that are non-negotiable. Those are things for us as believers that we say, these are things that we hold with a closed fist. We're not compromising on these. We're not questioning these. There are other things that we look at, and there's disagreement within the church. Now, some of those things, maybe like baptism or things like that, are things that would cause you to go to one church over another church. So for us, instance, we believe that true baptism is done after salvation by immersion, completely going under the water and coming up. So for us, that's a distinctive of our church. And so you may be here and you say, you know, I maybe think something differently about that. And we can still agree to disagree on that and love one another, and Jesus unites us together. And then there's other issues where there's disagreement. Maybe things theologically, like how are the end times going to function, which if anyone says, I know for sure that this is the way it's going to play out, just turn the TV off, okay? You with me on that? So just don't, you don't have to worry about that. Don't buy their book either. That's not good. So here's the thing. I think for me, personally speaking, there's a middle ground between the cessationist view that those gifts have ended with the end of the early church and the continualist view to what I would call a cautious continualist. Let me tell you what I mean by that. What I've seen, and I think what a lot of you probably have seen within the church here in America and even around the world, that these miraculous gifts are almost like candy that are given out. And they're abused and they're misused, and we've seen incredible damage done to the church as a result of that. And so for me, I think that there's painted within Scripture the ability for those gifts to continue under the framework that they were utilized within the early church. And the reason I say that is that I have a brother-in-law and sister-in-law that spent 3 years over in Istanbul, Turkey, 99.9% Muslim population. And as they were sharing the gospel and people in their teams were sharing the gospel, and it was breaking forth into regions where people had not heard the gospel, there were some things going on that can't be just explained naturally speaking. There are missionaries that will go in and not know the language of the place that they're going in and will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and somehow, in some way, God enables the people that they're preaching to understand what they're saying. And so for me, I'm sitting here and I'm saying that I don't want to close the door on what God's capable of doing. But the abuses that we see here oftentimes in the American church is not what is painted in the Scriptures. And here's why I think that's the case. You could go to a number of places in this community and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached faithfully. Interestingly, when Jesus was spending time on the earth, the religious people of the day would say things like, "Show us a sign. Let us see something, and then we'll believe you." And Jesus says, "Listen, if you wouldn't believe the prophets, you're not going to believe me, even if you see a sign." And we've got a lot of people today within church that are leaning on these things and wanting to see, "Let me see something." And listen, there is plenty of access in this country for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached faithfully, to where I look at it and say, I don't think there's really a need for God to show up the way he did in the book of Acts in those miraculous ways. But you journey around the world and you see places where the gospel has never broken forth in a community and in a place. And you hear what God is doing in places like that. And I think the specific purpose that God is using is when the gospel is preached in a place where people have never heard who Jesus is, God shows up in incredible ways so that they recognize and understand that this gospel is real and it is true. And so as we think about gifts this morning, I want to do that in that mindset, recognizing full well that though there's disagreement, there is unity in the fact that it is the Spirit of God who gives us gifts, and he gives us those gifts not for our own glory. This is key. He gives us those gifts for his glory. And so as we think about it this morning, we recognize that God gives a diversity of spiritual gifts to believers. Now, here's the question for you this morning. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? You may not. In fact, I would say a lot of us probably don't. And here's one of the things that I want to do as your pastor, we want to do as a church family, is help you figure out what gifts has God given you and how can we utilize those within the body of Christ so that we serve one another. It's important for us to know what our gifts are, and it's important for us to be able to utilize those gifts in the way that God intends for us to use them. So God gives a diversity of gifts to believers. Here's the second part. In order to build up the body of Christ. So I want you to look beginning in verse 12. This is where Paul begins to unpack the purpose of the gifts being given to believers within the church. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." I want you to notice the analogy that Paul is drawing here. He's saying that the church, the body of Christ, functions very much like our physical bodies. We have certain body parts that have to work together for us to function within our daily lives. And he says that all of the members of the body should be working together so that the body of Christ functions the way God intends for it to function. So verse 13, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye," picture that for just a second. "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is," listen to this, "God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts and yet one body." Now, I love that picture that Paul draws here because it reminds us that if our body parts don't function in the way that they're supposed to function, we start to run into issues. Some of you are like, "I'm running into some issues," right? But one of the things that he talks about here is this idea that sometimes certain body parts will look within the body of Christ and say, "Well, I don't have that gift, so I'm not important. I don't have the gifts that someone else has. I don't have the gift of teaching," or "I don't have the gift of serving," or "I don't have the gift of giving, and so maybe I'm not as important as the rest of the body is." And yet Paul says here that it takes every single part gathered together, working in the same direction, using their gifts to build one another up so that the body of Christ functions the way that it was intended to function. And so, as you look around, the people who are gathered here this morning, according to what Paul just said, were brought together by God for a specific purpose. I want you to think about this. Everyone who's here is who God wants here. Certainly, there are more that we want to bring in here, but we have enough here, enough gifts for the body of Christ here at North River Church to function the way that God intends for it to function. Now, if we're here and we don't know what our gifts are, we want to help you discover what those gifts are so that you can utilize them within the body. But if you're here and you know what your gifts are and you're like, I don't like that gift. I don't want that gift. You got to take that up with God, right? He's the one who's given us the gifts. And so what was going on within the church in Corinth is that some were feeling left out. Some were looking and saying, "Well, I don't have the gift of preaching, and so I'm just not going to come to church because I want to be up there and I want to preach." Can I tell you this? There are days I don't want to preach. If you've been a pastor, you know that feeling. But it takes every single one of us using our gifts to be able to build up the body of Christ. Look at verse 21. So you have what we've seen as kind of self-pity. I don't have the gifts that someone else has. But notice the point here about self-importance beginning in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So in that mindset, when the person looks and says, well, I don't have that gift that someone else has, and so maybe I'm not needed. The tendency may be true for those who have certain gifts to look down on someone else for the gifts that they do have and to say, well, we really don't need you because my gift's the one that's most important, right? Paul says, no, it doesn't work like that. Even what he calls here the weaker parts of the body, those gifts that may not be as center and up front, those are just as important as any other gift that's being used within the body of Christ. And so he says here, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be, listen to this, no division in the body. Why has God given us the gifts that He's given? So that it would bring us together in unity. Listen, have you ever experienced a point in time where your physical body was operating at optimal performance? Some of you are like, I remember that about 40 years ago, right? But where your body was functioning, I mean, you were firing on all cylinders. You remember how that felt? Maybe you were running a race and you thought you got that second wind and you're thinking, I could run for miles and miles and it just feels so good. That's what he's talking about here. That if all of us use our gifts within the body of Christ the way that God intends for us to use them collectively together, the body of Christ will function in an amazing way. It'll work the way that God intends for it to work. And so as you look here, if one member suffers, think about this, verse 26, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles and second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Now listen to this, verse 29. Are all apostles? Rhetorical question there, of course not. Are all prophets? Of course not. Are all teachers? Of course not. Do all work miracles? Of course not. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Of course not. Notice what he says here, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So as we look at what Paul says here, it reminds us that every single one of us is needed within this body for it to function the way God intends for it to function. And so, listen, if you're not pulling your weight, it hurts the rest of the body. And so if you're not utilizing your gifts the way God has intended for you to use them, it hurts the rest of the body. So you may be here this morning and you may not know what your gifts are and you may not be using them in such a way to build up the body. And so we want to help you figure out what your gifts are and encourage you to use those within the body. Some of you may be here and you say, I know what my gifts are and I don't like them. And I want his gift or her gift. And you got to recognize God put you in your lane and you need to run in the lane that he's put you. Because if you'll run the race that he's marked out for you, you're going to be able to do what he intends for you to do within this body. Some of you may think, you know, my gift's a little more important than someone else's. And maybe the Lord needs to humble you and help you realize that without everyone else doing what God intends for them to do, doesn't matter how good you think your gift is, it's not going to be functioning the way God intends for it to function. So God gives a diversity of spiritual gifts to believers in order to build up the body of Christ. But for me, here's the key. The next two words, in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's probably a text that you're familiar with. It's one that a lot of people will have read at their wedding, thinking that maybe it's just talking about love, generally speaking, and it's not. So if you had it read at your wedding, don't feel bad, but you kind of may have taken it a little bit out of context. So we'll try to put it back in its context so we understand that here what Paul is wanting us to recognize and understand is that as we use the gifts that God has given us, there's a way in which we need to use those gifts, and that is in love. And so he writes, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains," now think about that, that's pretty impressive, "but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, when Christ returns, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Now, within the context that Paul is writing this, he wants these Corinthian believers, he wants us to understand that for us to utilize the gifts that he's given us, we have to do it in a certain way. We have to do it in love. And he breaks down for us what love is not and what love is. So I want to list this out. And if you want to write it down, I'll try to go back over it so that you can catch your notes there. Some of you amen by taking notes, and so I don't want you to lose that, okay? So love is not, this is what Paul says for us, it is not envious, it is not boastful, it is not arrogant, it is not rude, it is not selfish, it is not irritable, it is not resentful, and it does not love sin. So as we back up and we think about how we use our gifts within the body of Christ, these things should not be true about the way in which we use our gifts. And for Paul at this point, those within the church were demonstrating some dysfunction in the way that they were using their gifts. I can't imagine a dysfunctional church, right? Never been a part of one of those. But Corinth was quite dysfunctional. And so as you recognize here, Paul says that those gifts should not be used in this way. So how should they be used? Well, he says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is full of faith. Love is hopeful. Love is enduring. Love is truth-loving. Love is never ending. So as we utilize our gifts, We should utilize them in such a way that those qualities that are outlined here are true about the way in which we use our gifts. Because if they're not how we use our gifts, then Paul says all we're doing is making a lot of noise, but we're not really worth anything. I don't know about you, but I want the gifts that God has given me to be used in such a way that it builds up the body of Christ and it's useful. My prayer is that for all of us, that would be true. I want to invite Scott and the team to come back up as we close out this morning, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word and to think through what God has called you to do within the body of Christ here at North River. And so, if you'll bow your heads with me and close your eyes. I want to just ask you a few questions this morning. The first is just simply, do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And if not, are you desiring to figure out what they are? Do you want to know what God has gifted you to do and to be within this church? And if you do, I'd love to give you some information that will help you discover what your gifts are. And so you can take your connection card that was in your bulletin and just write a little note on there that says you'd love to be able to take a spiritual gifts test that we can provide for you and help you as you seek to discover what your gifts are and help you figure out how those can be used within the body of Christ here at North River. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what your gifts are, and either for whatever reason you're just not using them, you're not allowing God to use you here in this body, or maybe you think your gifts just aren't important and we don't need them, or maybe for some reason you think you don't need anybody else and you kind of want a lone ranger this deal. Whatever you're thinking about your gifts this morning, would you allow the Scriptures to speak to you the reality that you are needed within this body here? None of us are more important than anyone else. In fact, it's going to take every single one of us using our gifts so that God can do what He wants to do in this church and in this community. Are you playing the part that God intends for you to play? And then very simply, are you doing it in love? Are you allowing that to be the foundation for using your gifts? A genuine love for God and a genuine love for others. If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, we'd love to share with you what that looks like. And as you head out today, you drop a card or just say, Michael, I'd love to talk with you about what it means to trust in Jesus for salvation. Father, we come to you and we ask that you'd continue to work in our hearts as you've already been doing. God, that you would bring unity in this body of believers as we seek to use the gifts that you've given us in such a way that it builds up the body of Christ here at North River, so that we can make an impact in this community that you've called us to serve and to love, and so that we can do it with arms locked together, functioning at full capacity. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and you sing. You respond to the Lord this morning.